The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Welcome back to our third show of Mission Minded. Keep your mission on your mind and your mission. He is Michael Coleman. It's his show. Of course, you know him as the executive director of the Jimmy Hill Mission, but this show is so much bigger than that. We're going to get into some stuff that I actually tried to get into last week, but he wouldn't let me do it. Michael, what's up, brother? How are you?
Hey, doing fantastic.
Great to have you on the show again today. And last week we were talking about visions and how we changed our visions and focusing on visions. And then I kind of threw out, what's the difference between a vision and a mission statement? I think we've all walked into a business, and particularly if you've been part of a startup business, you get your crew together and you're like, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to write a mission statement. Everyone's like, oh, here we go with the mission statement. When you walk in most successful businesses, even non-for-profits, it's right there on a plaque right by the wall when you walk in the front door, mission statements. Let's start right there. Why is a mission statement so important to any business?
Well, before I'm fixing to answer that, but I'll say you're so right. Your observations are so right. And it's really the number one problem that I see. Is everybody has a mission statement, but so few people are guided by it. So a mission statement really tells anybody looking at it why you exist and what are the scope of your boundaries. I mean, lots of times somebody may tell you, have you heard of this organization or that? And they say, well, I may have heard of the name, but what do they do? You really don't know. And that's what the mission statement does. And so that's why people have it on their website. People put it on grant applications and any kind of information spreading, because it lets you know the whys, the whats, and exactly who it is that you serve. In other words, you want to communicate through that your impact and to why you exist to begin with. And it seems like such a small thing. I mean, we talked about just doing a 30-minute show on mission statements. I know people have to roll their eyes and go, good gracious, is that important? The reality is, it is so vital to a successful organization, because it is the starting point of what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, and what direction that you're going. And if you don't do it, and I've seen leaders and organizations that don't do it, they do it at their own peril.
And I think a lot of people, they kind of do it like when they go into the gym. For whatever reason, people are like, I want to lose a few pounds before I start working out. I'm like, and we all do it. We're like, I just want to lose about 10 or 15 pounds and I'll get in the gym and get after it. And it's like, no, that's where you start. I think a lot of people think about that a bit as a business. Let's get things rolling here. And then we can sit down and figure out what our mission statement is. And it really doesn't work that way, does it?
No, absolutely. As a matter of fact, the picture that I try to create is guardrails on a highway. And so typically you see those either to keep you from running off to the right through a ditch, or off a ravine, or crossing the median and hitting oncoming traffic. And so in the nonprofit world, and really, I mean, this is just as applicable in the business community. If you say, this is our mission, then you tend to be going along, and before you know it, you fall asleep at the wheel, and now you're in somebody else's lane. And that guardrail is to prevent you from these catastrophic failures. But when they're ignored, or when you plow through them, as so often we do in the nonprofit world, then the effect, or to protect you, or those guidelines, when we go past them, then we create a whole big old mess that oftentimes it's just impossible to unravel. Once you get down that road very far.
This is Michael Coleman's show. It's called Mission Minded. You can hear it every single Wednesday at 12 noon and again at 7:30, 12 and 7:30 every Wednesday here exclusively on the Tony Curry Radio app. And by the way, a lot of people wanting to know, hey, I can't listen at 12 and 7:30. Where can I go back and listen to these? We're going to have a brand new platform, Tony Curry Radio platform podcast on Spotify. We have a great partnership with them. And so sometime early February, you'll be able to go back and listen to all of Michael Coleman's Mission Minded show. I actually have a friend of mine, believe it or not, Michael, who has a mission statement for his marriage. He sat down, he's like, we've, and you think about it, mission statements work in everything. He's like, we sat down and we said, listen, well, what do you think about having a mission statement? It'll be a showing of our love for each other and something, if anything, just to look back on and remember why we're here and what we're trying to do. I think it's interesting. Whenever I walk into a business, I always see if I can see their mission statement somewhere, and I like to read it and if it feels the way it actually reads.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's very interesting. Sometimes I've seen the really good companies will test that. In other words, they want the feedback. I feel that way about the mission. I talk to donors. I talk to volunteers. And I'm like, you know, here's our mission statement. And here's what we're trying to accomplish. And do you see that? Do you feel that? Do you experience that? And if you don't, what that tells me is there's a disconnect between what we state that we want to do or what we believe we're doing versus what's actually taking place or what's being received by other stakeholders in the program. And so that's what I'm saying. These mission statements have to be tested in so many different ways, and they have to be reviewed at least once a year to see, hey, am I still doing this? And am I doing it to the best of my abilities? Am I delivering the goods that I'm telling people I am? And that goes to your credibility. That goes to your authenticity, and all those things are so important because you're trying to convince a community to come alongside of you, to give of their hearts, their minds, their finances, their time, and you're trying, and it all starts with a mission statement. That mission statement is that appeal to people as to why they should be involved in the work that you're doing. And so if there's a disconnect between what you say you do and what you're actually doing, again, that's a setup for a catastrophic failure.
Okay, so to get back to the question that I asked last week till I was so rudely interrupted by you saying, I want to do an entire show on this. What's the biggest difference between the vision, which obviously can change, and then the mission statement?
Yeah, so the mission statement states, here's where we are. Here's why we exist. Here's who we're impacting. This is how we're going to do it. The vision statement, a really good vision statement, points beyond that. So the mission statement is focused on what we do, and it's in the right now. The vision statement is cast far ahead of almost a condition that you want to get to. It's a little less specific, but it's a broad, optimistic vision of where you hope to lead your organization to. So I wrote down a couple just to illustrate this, of ones that I thought were easy to understand, but very effective. So you take Amazon. Of course, Amazon is known by everybody. Their mission statement is very simple, but right on the mark. It says the mission is we strive to offer our customers the lowest possible prices, the best available selection, and the utmost convenience. So if we had to evaluate, said, okay, there's three things here: lowest prices, best available selection, utmost convenience. I'd have to say, is Amazon meeting their mission? Absolutely. I mean, I'm a regular shopper on Amazon, and I shop for those specific reasons. So when they say, this is our mission, this is what we're striving for, you have to give them an A, at least in the perception of how they're accomplishing their mission. Now, their vision is a little bit different. Their vision, more long-term, more futuristic, says their vision is to be the Earth's most customer-centric company where customers can find and discover anything they might want to buy online. So that's not where they are right now, but that's the vision of where they're going, where they, that's what future success looks like for them. And so they see, here's our immediate, but then there's our vision. That's where we're going. And it gives them a direction to work towards. And so there's a framework for everything at Amazon. Amazon tells you what they are, who they are, what they're doing, and what they're striving to do. And their vision says, well, and this is where we're going with that. This is what we hope to accomplish down the road. And so what you don't see is this big fluffed up mission statement with a lot of heavy words. It's very clear. It's very easy. Let me give you one more example that I took from Toyota.
Yeah.
Well-respected car company. Their mission statement, to attract and attain customers with high-valued products and services and the most satisfying ownership experience in America. And again, Toyota has a very high-quality vehicle. And so it's all about the customer, giving the customer a great car. But their vision statement is to be the most successful and respected car company in America. You see, it's different. So they're striving every day to equip us with reliable, comfortable. And they, of course, they make the changes every year and they're doing that. But where they want to get to is, hey, we want to beat everybody else. We want to be the creme de la creme at the end of this, at the end of this line, where we are the most successful and respected car company in America. So even though what they do is on a daily basis is very well done, well respected, they always are moving forward because they've not yet attained that distant vision.
You're listening to Michael Coleman. It's Michael Coleman's Mission Minded Show. We're keeping our mission on our mind and our mind on our mission. I'm Tony Curry, your co-host here. Of course, you can listen to the show every single Wednesday at 12 and 7:30, and soon on Spotify, you'll be able to go back and archive and listen to all the wonderful shows we've done. This is our third one already. Before I get into this thing called Mission Creep, which I think is really interesting, it just stuck out at me. I can't wait to talk to you about that. I do want to ask you this, though, because I've seen mission statements that are, I know they're supposed to be a paragraph long. You're not supposed to go multiple paragraphs, I believe. And sometimes they do seem like they over-define what you're trying to do. And in these cases, according to Amazon and Toyota, they're pretty simplistic. What is the rule of thumb when it comes to creating your mission statement? You sit down, you write down all these ideas, and you try to put together this mission statement. But what are some of the rules on how to do that?
I have helped several organizations write their mission statements or work on their mission statement, edit their mission statements, because the bottom line is, if you don't have a very clear and concise and very easy to understand mission statement, not only are you not going to attract the outside world of what you do, but you're not even going to have support from your staff. Your staff has to be able to recite this. I'm not talking about verbatim, but the heart of it. To anybody at anywhere. So they have to understand why they're coming to work to do what they're doing. And so once you begin to understand and follow a mission statement, like we said before, with these boundaries, it really begins to help you in so many different ways, from decision-making in the organization, just in every process, you'll find yourself going back to that core foundation. And if that's not clear to the leaders, clear to the those who are pouring into your program or into your nonprofit, boy, there's just going to be a huge disconnect. And I will tell you, it's one of the greatest things that I've seen. People want to, their mission statements are just simply not very concise. They're not very well written. They have a lot of big words in them because we have a tendency to want to show our intelligence to other people. And so the rule of thumb for me has always been, try to say it in one sentence. I don't even go one paragraph. I said, you need to be able to communicate, because that goes back to the whole 30-second elevator speech where you get on floor one, you're going to floor 10, and somebody says, well, tell me what you do. Well, you better be able to say what you do in such a clear way that they both understand it, but it appeals to them. In other words, there's this hook that connects their heart that says, huh, that's interesting. I would like to know more about that. And when you have a four paragraph mission statement, he or she is already off the elevator and long gone before you even begin to touch the core of what you do.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting, and I hope I'm not throwing something. I've got a million questions here, so bear with me. I hope I'm not going somewhere where you want to go down the road again with a different show.
Ahead.
But if you do, but I've been part of numerous organizations where I came in, the business was already set up, and there was a mission statement, and we understood that. And then we hit tough times. And we had the whole corporate meeting. We're all sitting around the big table, and we sat down, and we kind of had a mission statement reset. I don't even know if that's the right verbiage for that, where we were asked a plain, simple question. Why are we here? What exactly do you think this business is supposed to be doing? And inevitably, you'd have 20 or 30 different people with you know, maybe 15 or 20 of them having kind of the same idea, but then a couple were kind of off. Have you ever been part of a situation like that? And is that a red flag for an organization?
Well, it's not a red flag if you have leadership that is flexible in their thinking. And what I mean by that is sometimes we are guilty of trying to put a round peg in a square hole. So let's say, for instance, let's say that you begin an organization and that organization has been going on 20 years and it's to help unwed pregnant mothers, mm-hmm. let's say single mothers. And let's just say, so you put all these resources in there, but then after a while you find out, even though you're doing your services well and you're offering these services, maybe there's not a huge demand in your particular area for that service. So, and that could be any service that you offer through the nonprofit world. And so you have to begin to ask yourself, well, if I'm making an appeal in terms of impact, in terms of support, you don't want a nonprofit organization to unnecessarily serve a community or duplicate an effort in that community. So there's absolutely nothing wrong. Matter of fact, I think it's very healthy that you have an awareness that what you intended to do initially has changed for whatever, maybe the dynamics. I'm working with a church right now that, 25 years ago, they had 1,000 members and now they're down to 125. So it's a wow. different, their world and their mission and their impact and their perspectives in many ways has to change. And the leadership has to have the courage to step forward and say, this is who we were 25 years ago, but we're not that anymore. So now how do we readjust? And so it's absolutely critical that they ask those tough questions. Why do we exist? And you have to get that core reason. You have to spell it out in a way that still attracts the hearts of your members, of your volunteers, of your donors, whatever it is, to get them on board with how you can still be impactful in your community. But it starts and stops with the mission statement. My recommendation is that every single year, at a minimum, that you get your leaders. And when I'm talking about the nonprofit world, I'm talking about your board of directors, your key staff members, that you come together and you really, what I would say, hone your mission statement. And sometimes, maybe it doesn't need tweaking at all. Sometimes maybe it's just a tweak of a word or two, or maybe, hey, we've really kind of gone in this direction now, and we need our mission statement to reflect that. So it happens all the time because both organizations change and the community that you're serving changes. And it's okay to change with it, but you have to be guided by the mission statement. So if the mission statement you have is no longer applicable or no longer realistic, then that's fine. But you have to change it to fit the new direction that you're going.
This is Michael Coleman's Mission Minded exclusively on Tony Curry Radio, 12:00, 7:30 on Wednesdays and coming soon to Spotify so you can listen to it anytime, anywhere. So tell me what this, and I saw this right at the top of your notes, what is mission creep, something a lot of organizations are guilty of?
Oh, I could not begin to tell you. So let's say that you are, your idea is to help the community, and you may have started your mission with the idea that I want to help homeless men. And so you create a shelter environment. And you say, we're going to offer, this is what help is to us. This is how we're defining help. And it may be food, it may be clothes, it may be workforce skills, however it is you do that. And then another opportunity comes along. It really doesn't fit well with a homeless shelter, but you're like, oh, this is really interesting. I think we could bring this in and put it under, our umbrella. I worked for a nonprofit years ago that if you looked at their website, they were doing 4 different things, but none of those things connected with each other. And so you didn't have the synergy that everybody understood, hey, we're going in this direction, because you had some people tending to this program over here that wasn't connected in any way. We weren't serving the same people. We weren't trying to achieve the same means. We just had a bunch of programs. And a lot of times we get that way because we don't analyze steps forward based on our mission statement. So what I mean by that is, as the executive director of Jimmy Hill Mission, I would fully expect if I wanted to add a service that we were offering, that the very first question that my board of directors would ask is this service in line or within the boundaries of our mission statement? And if it's not, it may be a dynamic program. It may be something that's really great. It creates a lot of publicity, but we can't do it. It's not for us. Why? Because it's not part of our mission statement. And that's what I'm talking about. So mission creep is when we just go along and somebody's got a good idea. And, oh, let's do this. And then, oh, I think we could raise some money. And so you start chasing dollars. You start chasing support just in different ways. And before too long, you're vastly different than what your mission statement is, because you just continue to just allow your mission to creep outside of those guardrails that I spoke of. And now you're into a lot of different stuff. And almost every single time I've seen that, no matter who the leadership is when you have mission creep, what you find is you're doing nothing well, because your hands are in so many different things.
Do you find yourself, and I don't mean to interrupt, do you find yourself, because the mission statement, again, is something that you set up right off the bat, right? And so when you are evolving, and perhaps you have a really bright young individual who's thinking of different ways to, in this particular case, we'll talk about the Jimmy Hill mission, trying to figure out ways to raise funds. And maybe it's not really part of your original mission statement, but it is a good idea. And it is something that potentially you could see working. How do you broach that subject there? Do you build some type of umbrella type of situation? Do you allow that individual to take on a different area of your store, or of this particular case, a non-for-profit? And is there room for that? Because, I mean, obviously you want growth. I think about Amazon. You mentioned Amazon. I don't even know if Amazon knew when they first started they were going to be as big as they are now. We knew that Amazon sold particular things. We didn't know if they were going to be, I mean, heck, they're into television. They're into communication rights. They're into everything. I don't even know if Amazon knew how big they were going to get at that point. Did they?
No, and they have found a way to, you know, we think of Amazon primarily as packaging. You know, for many, many years, I remember when they came out with this mail thing, the Amazon Prime, and you get these mail delivers, and I was ordering books all the time. And so I thought, man, this is a great deal. I can get it in 2 days. But they weren't necessarily deviating from that, from what their mission statement was, because they're still giving us the most selection, the most convenience, and the most prices. What they didn't state in the mission statement is that they were limiting themselves to X, Y, or Z. So now they have Prime Video, and they have Prime, you know, Prime everything. In the nonprofit world, when obviously you don't have the Jeff Bezos and the billion-dollar capacity, decisions are much more critical as to how you move forward, because you can't afford a lot of inefficiency, a lot of lack of direction, and a lot of wondering. But when I see people, if I see a good idea. So I would just tell you from my personal approach, if this were me, if I saw something that was like, you know what, this could help the mission, but it really doesn't fit within the mission, then what I've got to do is I've either got to figure out how it does fit, where I can explain it authentically and truthfully to both my board and to those who would support the mission, or I would have to look at what would it take if I really am sold that this is good for the Jimmy Hill mission, or my particular organization, then what I have to do is look at going back and rewriting my mission statement in a way that would include this. In other words, that it's brought in, and it could be a separate, hey, it may mean, hey, maybe we need to set up a second organization or an LLC underneath a nonprofit. There's all sorts of legal maneuvering that can be done. So, but those are all the things that the critical thinking and that needs to go on. And you need to have good board members who are providing that oversight that always starts with this. You want to, I would expect my board to challenge me and say, you want to do this? Very first question, does it fit within our mission statement to do it? And if it doesn't, it may be a great idea, but it's not for us.
See, and I think this is really interesting too, because, and I'm glad you sent these notes, and I was thinking this question too, because a lot of people think, can I change my mission statement? Because I think a lot of people think, no, that's our mission statement. We must stick with that. You must evolve. You must adapt to what's happening around. And certainly we've seen that through COVID and the pandemic over the last 2.5 years, that sometimes you do need to change things. And that's okay. You even mentioned you need to look at your mission statement at least once a year, right?
Oh, absolutely. And let me tell you, So, and there's more to it than just looking at it, because I know we get busy and we're like, okay, I put it on my calendar. I need to review my mission statement. I look at my mission statement, 5 minutes. Oh yeah, we're basically doing the same thing. When I say look at the mission statement, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about actually putting it under the scrutiny of every stakeholder you have. So you say, all right, this is our state. This is our mission statement. Now, I want you staff members who are on the ground every single day doing this, I want you to critique this. I want you to red ink it if you say, well, we say we're doing this, but we're not doing this. Or we say that we're moving in this direction, but we're not moving in this direction. And here's why. So they become stakeholders in what you're doing. You know, they're not just employees. They're helping you shape, and they bring a realization that oftentimes a leader of an organization can't see. Now, if you're a small nonprofit, you have a 1, 2, 3, 4 person staff, that's fine. But when you get up to, you know, 50 to 100 and you have, like us, we have 3 different locations of where we're operating, there may be things that I can't see at my level. And so I'm not going to make the decision in a vacuum. Are we doing our mission statement? I'm going to put it out there and allow the employees to help me understand and evaluate. But not even just that. I reach out to volunteers. I reach out to donors. I'm like, what are your thoughts? Give me true feedback. Look at our mission statement. Tell me what your perception is and perspective is. And so it's, I don't want to, because I can convince myself that, yes, we're doing what we should be doing and then move on. It's too important. The mission statement that you're rooted in has to be refined and scrutinized if you want to continue to produce a good product and do it in a forthright way, where you have complete transparency with your stakeholders.
And Michael Coleman joins us here on Mission Minded. Just a few more minutes. And of course, we do this every show at noon and 7:30 on Wednesdays here on Tony Curry Radio, soon on Spotify and the Tony Curry Radio platform of podcasts. You're right. Nothing drives external support more than connecting what you're doing with the hearts of those inside and outside your organization. I have had lunch enough with you. I've done enough shows with you to know how important your organization, the people that work for you are. And I think it's really interesting, because I think a lot of, and I'd say successful businesses, they're almost afraid to lean on their employees to get ideas, because maybe they're afraid they're going to unionize, like Amazon's trying to do, or Starbucks is going to try to unionize, because they're afraid that they're not going to be working for the common good of the organization, in this particular case, a non-for-profit, and they're going to start bitching and moaning about the other things in the organization that aren't going well. How do you decipher the difference there and let them know, hey, listen, I'm open to listening to everything you have to say, but we have to do this as an organization as a whole?
Yeah. And that comes from really, that's a leadership challenge, because many leaders do not want to open up. They don't want you to pull the curtain back and really see what's going on behind that. And that is such an unhealthy environment. And it starts with, you know, I walk into this knowing, as a matter of fact, I remember probably in my first week, I called my leaders together and I said, listen, I want you to know right now in advance that I'm going to screw some things up. And so what I need is from you, I need support, and I need your grace extended to me, because I'm telling you in advance, I'm going to mess some things up. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to extend mercy and grace back to you and support back to you, and not kill you over every mistake you make. But I also have a complete open door where anybody in this organization that sees me doing something that is inconsistent with the values of our organization or inconsistent with our mission or doing something, they have permission to come in, because my goal is not elevating myself. My goal is elevating the organization. And that can only happen when you have complete transparency. And does it feel good when an employee comes in and goes, Michael, you said something the other day that I thought was really inconsistent with the culture that you're trying to establish? No, that does not feel good, but it is healthy. It's what I need to hear. And I have to have the courage to expose myself to that kind of criticism. Now, when you do that and you operate in that kind of environment, then it doesn't bother you so bad to say, hey, all employees, here's our mission statement. You know what you're doing. Tell me, does it match? And they come back, they red ink it, or they say, hey, we're doing this, but we're not. Well, me as a leader, that's what I'm getting paid for. That's the, what the board's expectation is that I'm going to take that and I'm going to go back and say, wow, we're not, I need to really delve into this and make sure that what we say we're doing is what we're actually doing on the ground, that we're having the impact that we say we are. Let me just say this. You mentioned about the importance so much about an emotional connection. So I have a couple, just, I think one sentence, mission statements that kind of bring that emotional hook. So Charity Water, there's so many organizations I've supported and I'm connected with that do clean, safe drinking water overseas. But this says Charity Water is bringing clean and safe drinking water to people in developing countries. So instantly when you say that, you think about all the pictures that we've seen of just the vast poverty in underdeveloped African nations, kids with bloated stomach. I mean, all that comes up and it makes your heart hurt. And you're like, wow, if I support them, kids are going to get fresh water. They're not going to have to walk 3 miles to a dirty river. If I support this organization, I'm going to change the lives of some of those people. And so just that one sentence, it brings such clarity. This is what Charity Water does. It brings clean and safe drinking water to people in developing countries. That's something that emotionally connected me right away, because I can visualize the good that it's doing. Another one is the American College of Pediatricians. So you think, oh, well, that's an academic organization, but what they're about is they enable all children to reach their optimal physical and emotional health and well-being. Well, everybody loves kids. Everybody wants them to be healthy and safe and all the things that go into that. So again, that kids pull at your heartstrings. And so those kind of things that you can just spell out just very clearly, you don't have to use big words. They don't have to be long. As a matter of fact, you're hurting yourself if you do that, but it needs to be concise, but it also needs to show the impact or the difference that you're making in a way that connects their heart. And once you connect somebody's heart, I learned this in very early part of my nonprofit journey, was that dollars will follow the heart. And that's a very biblical thing. You know, mm-hmm. Our treasure is where our heart is. Yep. We invest money and life into things that matter to us. To me, the challenge of the nonprofit world is to make it matter or to show why it matters. And then once somebody's heart connects and they believe in you and they trust you, the dollars will follow.
Yeah.
And it's just same time after time after time.
I love it. Hey, Michael, man, a great show. I think that's our best show we've done so far. And we'll look forward to catching back up week 4 coming up next week. All right, brother?
Excited.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.